Welcome to Shir Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Kiseisei. Tonight I want to talk about Mamzerim. I don't have anyone specific in mind. We're going to talk about the Pasuk. Pasuk in Parshas Kiseisei, Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, says, Lo Yovo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. I'm going to read the English, this art school translation. A Mamzer shall not enter the congregation of Hashem. Gam Doras Thiri Lo Yovo Lo Bekal Hashem. Even his tenth generation shall not enter the congregation of Hashem. What does it mean that a Mamzer, again, somebody, we generally understand a Mamzer is someone born of a prohibited relationship. It's important to point out that the term that's used in English as a translation of Mamzer is a little bit inaccurate. The term in English sometimes is used to describe a child born out of wedlock. That's not what a mamzer is. A mamzer is not necessarily born out of wedlock. A mamzer is born out of one of the prohibited relations, one of the arayos. And the way we paskin, specifically one of the arayos that's subject to kares or misas bezdin. In other words, it has to be a very high level prohibited relationship that produces the mamzer. So what does it mean that lo yavo bekal Hashem, that he shouldn't come into the congregation of Hashem? Writes Rashi, Lo Yisa Yisraelis. You should not marry a standard Jewish woman. As opposed to what you might think if you read the Pasuk in its simple sense, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Again, if you read it without any preconceived notions, you would think, can't come to shul, he can't come into the congregation, he can't interact with people, he's in cherem or some kind of social, he's ostracized socially. So again, as we know, that's not the case. The Haksav HaKabbalah is going to elaborate on that in just a few moments, but in other words, the only prohibition that pertains to a mamzer is his inability to marry most Jewish women. He can marry a mamzeres, but most Jewish women he's prohibited from marrying. Commenting on that is a little bit, the Haksav HaKabbalah gets involved in a discussion of a little bit about Mamzerus and brings out very interesting things from the Psukim themselves with regard to the issue of Mamzerus. So Rashi, again, as we already said, says, Lo Yisa Yisraelis, that the Mamzer being bought by Kahal Hashem, coming into the congregation of Hashem, means that he's not allowed to marry the standard Jewish woman. Right? Don't think, says the Haksav HaKabbalah, that it means, like we said before, that he can't come into a Jewish community or come into shul or interact with people. No, that's not true. He's like a regular Jew for all intents and purposes. As Chazal say, Mamzer Talmud Chacham Kodem B'Kriyas Hatzara L'Koyim Am Haaretz. That when it comes, again, our custom is we always give the first aliyah to a kohen, if there's a kohen present. But in theory, a Talmud Chacham takes precedence over a kohen. And the halacha is that even if that Talmud Chacham is a mamzer, again, it's not his fault that he's a mamzer. He could be a mamzer and sit and learn for many years and become a big Talmud Chacham. So a mamzer is a Talmud Chacham, has precedence for getting an aliyah over a kohen who's an Am Haaretz. Again, one has yichus, one really doesn't have yichus, but what you make of yourself is not necessarily tied to the yichus that you're dealt. That's the card that you're dealt, from birth. But what you do with yourself is something entirely different.
How is his children
also? Oh, so again, so his children are going to have that stigma of mamzerus as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. There's a big machlokas harishonim with regard to what the mamzer gets malchus for. In other words, what exactly is the mamzer prohibited from doing on penalty of lashes? Again, it's a mitzvah lo sase in the Torah. It's a law in the Torah. Lo yavo mamzer bikal Hashem. La harambam ein malchus mishum mamzerus rak binistuin kishaboal achar hakidushim. Aval b'shekidesh v'lo boal, o boal v'lo kidesh, eino loke mishum mamzerus. The Rambam has an important shita with regard to the ister of the mamzer to marry a Jewish woman. The Rambam writes that the mamzer will only get malchus if he both enters into a kiddushin relationship with a Jewish woman and then has sexual relations with that Jewish woman. But if he's lacking either one of those elements, in other words, he has an extramarital relationship with a Jewish woman, again, not an adulterous relationship, but you know, they don't have kiddushin together, or if he only has kiddushin and they don't have intimacy together, so then he's not going to get malchus. So the Rambam holds he has to have both kiddushin as well as bia in order to get malchus. Let me just read you the Rambam. I'm sorry? The kiddushin will be chal, but again, you know, he has to have the kiddushin and have the bia in order to be over in order to get malchus. The Rambam is in Perek Tesvav of Isurei Bia Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, again, I'll read the Rambam inside. Echad mamzer shenasa Yisraelis or Yisraelis shenasa mamzeres. If a male mamzer marries a regular Jewish woman, or a Jewish man marries a mamzeres, kevon shabalu akar kiddushin lokin. Once they have intimate relations after the kiddushin, so they get malchus. But kidesh lo baal eino lokin, baal v'lo kidesh eino lokin mishum mamzeres. Right? If they only have kiddushin, that doesn't get malchus. If they only have bia, so then, and no kiddushin, so then they won't get malchus from mamzerus, says the Rambam. That language is carefully chosen. The Rambam holds that panoi habal apnuya, if two unmarried people have sexual relations outside of marriage, that's an isser daraisa. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam, but the Rambam holds that it's an isser daraisa, and so they would get malchus, you know, for having relations outside of marriage. But for having relations with a mamzer, that they wouldn't get malchus for. They only get one malchus, not two malchus. Yeah.
What exactly is the isn't that having this relationship without a
super? Excellent. So the Rambam holds that the only one who's allowed to be with a pilegish is a melech. In other words, you know, it's true the avos had pilegishim, but in other words, now in a post-Matan Torah world, the only person who's allowed to have a pilegish is a melech.
Well, we know that's not true.
How do we know that's
not true?
Who do you know who has pilagshin? No, I'm serious. I mean, why do you say that's not the practice? What's that? I'm serious too. Who do you know who has pilagshin? No, I'm not aware of any pilagshin.
I'm not fully aware, but I know that the situation exists. A woman has a wife and he has a pilagshin.
What do you mean by pilagshin?
He has a woman.
No, so in other words, a pilagshin is someone with
whom... A
pilegish doesn't mean someone he's having an affair with, which certainly, unfortunately, there's no shortage of such people. Pilegish means that he has kiddushin with her, but no ksuba. So, yes, I'm not so aware of so many people who are out there with kiddushin and no ksuba. Right, yeah.
So, I wanted to ask you, it seems from the surah, and the Parshas Kisei say that a man and a woman, it doesn't say that she's a nacious ish in certain cases, and it says that she's chayav nisa.
Okay, so that's a separate issue. Let's focus on mamzerus.
All right.
Right?
No, so, separate issue, but
good. So the Rambam says that in order to get malchus for mamzerus, there has to be both kiddushin as well as bia. The only time that having relations without kiddushin gets you malchus with one of the prohibited relations is an almana to a kohen gadol. Any other prohibited relation in which kiddushin would be tofsin, in which you could have kiddushin, you need two elements, both the kiddushin as well as the bia. That's the Rambam shita. Many Rishonim argue on the Rambam. The Ramban is one. The Ravid is another one. The Ravid right here on the spot writes in his classic strong terminology, Omar Avram, right? So the Ramban had finished off that the only one who gets Malkus for Bia without Kiddushin is Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Kimoshi is Bo'er, as will be explained. Writes the Ravid, Omar Avram, lo nisba'er, it was not explained, v'lo yisba'er, and it's not going to be explained, v'ha'omra lo yispa'er, and the one who says it will not be praised. You know, the Rebbe, as we know, did not hesitate to express his displeasure with many of the positions of the Rambam. Kitos kidolahi, in case you missed my drift, says the Ravid, the Rambam's position is a big mistake. Hashto isir kuhuna diksive lo yikach amin and ba'al velo kidesh loke, hanach psulim de lo ksifbehu elabio lechuda lo kol shiken. So first the Ravid's argument is from the language of the Torah, which is very interesting. What does it say about an almana to a kohen gadol? It says lo yikach, right? Yikach is usually a lashon of kiddushin, and that could by almana to kohen gadol, that's where the halacha is that you don't need kiddushin in order to get malchus. That could just be a. Most of the other bios or asuros, it says lo yavo. Lo yavo is usually a lashon that implies not kiddushin, but just having sexual intimacy. So in other words, says the Rebbe, it's an interesting argument just from the Lashon HaKosim. We'll see the Haksav HaKabbal is going to come back and try to say that the Pesukim actually support the Rambam in terms of the terminology of the Pesukim. But the Rebbe writes that the language which is typically used implies that even Bia, even having relations without Kiddushin, is already enough to get you Malkus. That's the first thing. I'm sorry? Right. Okay. All right. So you do see bia as marriage as well, but I guess without too much elaboration, bia usually just implies the sexual act. But it's a point we'll take. We'll see that Tzava Kabbalah is going to come back to that.
And then the Ravid writes that didn't know thing shall be a teyaser. Besides just the language of the psukim, logic dictates that relations between a Yisrael and a Mamzeres alone, even without Kiddushin, should bring you Malkus. Why? Kiddush lo yarbe Mamzeres be Yisrael.
What's the whole point of the Isser for a Mamzer to marry Yisraelis or vice versa? Their children are going to be Mamzerim. So why should we make more Mamzerim than we already have? So that's an argument that relates to the Isser, even if there's no Kiddushin, even if they just enter into an extramarital affair with one another, an extramarital relationship with one another, they've got to produce Mamzerim. So it's interesting, the Ravid already has the Svara as to why the Torah is Asering, you know, a Yisrael and a Mamzeris, you know, getting together with one another. There's nothing to do with marriage, it's all about the offspring, and the offspring is a function of their sexual relationship that they have with one another, not, you know, it's not really tied to whether they're going to have Kiddushin or not.
Isn't that apparently presumptuous on the part of the Rebbe to say what the Torah's punishment is?
Yeah,
it's a little bit unprecedented.
It's definitely interesting that the Ravid says that, and then the Ravid also goes on to say. Then the Ravid says something else. He says, in this week's parsha as well, we say that a psua daka, a man whose reproductive organs are damaged in such a way that he's not able to have children, so he's also not allowed to marry a typical Jewish woman. So why is that? The Ravid also says, again, as David points out, it's a little bit unusual. The Ravid says, time of the crow, he tries to explain why the Torah asks it. Su'adakam nesar kadesh lo tizme ishto tachtof. V'hamamzei v'sraba. You know why the su'adakam is not allowed to get married? Because his wife is not going to be fulfilled. And if his wife is not fulfilled, she's going to go seek fulfillment somewhere else. And that's going to lead to mamzerus. So that's why, you know, the Torah prohibits it, right? So, and that argument, says the Ravid, that argument pertains, that argument would seem to pertain davka to Kiddushin between a Psua Daka and a Yisraelis, but again, he's giving his own twist on why the Torah prohibits a certain action, again, which is unusual. Again, we do find that Rishonim certainly try to explain why mitzvahs are given. I mean, this whole Sefer HaChinuch devotes himself very, very much to trying to explain why every mitzvah was given to us.
what the Shoresh HaMitzvah, the basis of the mitzvah is. But for the Ravid to bring something like that in a halakhic context is definitely unusual. So the Aksav HaKabbalah quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Ravid as disagreeing. V'chein das Rambam deloka achba biyash below kiddushin. And the Ramban as well agrees with the Ravid that you get Malkus for a Mamzer and a Yisraelis being together, even if they just have Bia together without Kiddushin. Shakosuv Mefurash Soveach Lo Yovo Shia Be'ilo. Because says the Ramban, what's our Pasuk? Lo Yovo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Yovo is a Lashon that's often, again, maybe not exclusively, but often associated with sexual relations. Again, Bia, we call it Bia. Bia is Yovo, right? So in other words, the Pasuk seems to be saying that what's prohibited is the sexual relationship. It's not the whether or not there's Kiddushin is not really going to make a difference. V'nira li l'holitz ba'ad ha-Rambam. Says Aksav HaKabbalah, I want to stick up for the Rambam. He was a Yekka, but I guess deep down he was a Brisker, right? He wanted to try to defend the Rambam as much as possible. Amosai tikore habio be'ila kishimufurosh bo isha. So I want to suggest, as Aksav HaKabbalah, that the word bia does not always imply a sexual relationship. It doesn't always imply intimacy. It only implies that when the word isha, woman, is also used. Kimo bo el eshes achicha. Bo el eshes achicha we had in Parshas Vayeshev, right? Yehuda says to Onan, right? Or to Shelah, I think, you know, the brothers, I'm sorry?
Not to Shelah.
No, he's, oh, not to Shelah, I'm sorry, yeah, to Onan, right? He says to Onan, Er passed away, he left Tamar, a widow. So Boel Eishes Ochicha V'Yabemoso. So now, come to your brother's wife. What is come to your brother's wife? It means Bia. Kain Habo El Eishes Re'ehu. We quote the Pasuk in Mishlei. Habo El Eishes Re'ehu means the one who has a sexual relationship with his friend's wife. Yivama Yavo Aleha. Later on in the Pasha itself. Right? So Yavam, right, will have relations with the Yavama. In other words, and there we know there's no Kiddushin. In other words, Chazal were misaking something called Maimar, which is sort of a quasi-Kiddushin. But Midaraisa, you know, the thing, you know, when the Yavama has to enter into a relationship with the Yavam, they just have relations together and boom, that's it. You know, they don't need anything beyond that. The Mishtoi B'Isha. All of those are talking about a woman. So Bia, in conjunction with an Isha, means sexual relations. Omnam v'loshon bia bekal ein hamuvan bo b'ilo levada rak kishikadam lo kiddushin. But in our pasuk, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, it doesn't say lo yavo el ho'isha, it says lo yavo bikal Hashem. He should not come into the congregation of Hashem. And even though, as Aksav HaKabbalah explained, that doesn't mean that he can't come to shul, that he can't hang out with people, but it does imply kiddushin as opposed to just bia. How does kahal Hashem imply kiddushin as opposed to just bia? So he says as follows: Ki lashon ba ikar in yono kirvas etzem el etzem. The lashon ba, to come, implies that two things are coming closer to one another. Right? Again, even in English, if someone is coming, so that means there's a closeness which is being achieved. Kamo kasher bo Yosef el Echov. Right? When Yosef came to his brothers, he came close to his brothers. V'abo al isha shalolishum ishus rak l'shem shnus. Ein kan kirvas etzem el etzem rak v'isha zolivado v'rak al shochado. When a man and a woman have a sexual relationship with one another without kiddushin, so there are two things that are coming close to one another, this man and this woman, but he's not joining anything greater than this woman. It's just he and this woman are coming together. And the relationship is a one-time relationship. They have this one rendezvous together, and that's the bia. That's it. You know, and after that, if they didn't have kiddushin, there's no long-lasting relationship that they have one to another. When they finish their act, so there is nothing binding the two of them together. He has no connection to her. He has no connection to her family. All the rest of her family, her sister, her mother, whatever, they're all unrelated to him. You don't acquire machatonim by virtue of znus, by virtue of having an extramarital relationship. But says the Aksava Kabbalah, when a man and a woman marry, it's not just that the man and the woman are coming together. The man is being brought close together to the woman's whole family, and vice versa. There's a whole circle that's being created over here. Does that entail? Yeah, but it would have to be davka bia l'shem kiddushin. In other words, sam bia that doesn't, it's not l'shem kiddushin. Well, the proof is the other way. In other words, if I don't know otherwise, I assume that bia is not l'shem kiddushin. You have to prove to me that it's l'shem kiddushin, right? So again, when a couple come together with kiddushin first, so that creates a relationship not just between the man and the woman, but it brings together whole families. Their whole families who are now connected in a way in which they were not before. So hine lihiyosh bebias nisuin tisyaleid kirvas etzem ho'echad el anoshim rabei hamitzvar. Because when two people get married, it creates a connection not only between a man and a woman who happen to have had a relationship together, but it creates a relationship between multiple individuals who are now all related to one another. Shapir nofel alav lashon bia bakoho. That's what bia bakoho means. Right? What's the kohol? Again, it's such a strange language to use if we're only talking about a marital relationship. I would think, again, without the Torah Shebaal Peh, I would think, lo yavo mamzer b'kahal Hashem, you can't come to shul. Kahal Hashem implies that there's a whole congregation, a whole bunch of people. Why does lo yavo b'kahal Hashem mean that he can't marry? Where'd you get that from? The answer is because marriage is the forging of a multifaceted relationship. It's a relationship not just between husband and wife, but between all of the krovim, all of the relatives who now become relatives with one another, for better or for worse, right? You know, they all now this is all one big happy or maybe not so happy family, but they're all now related to one another. So that's lo yavo bakoho. A group of people have now come closer together. That's that melitza. That's what the Torah means when it says lo yavo b'kal Hashem. Right, so Kahal Hashem means among people who are Jewish. I think that's what it means. In other words, you're part of the community of people who are part of the Ama Nivchar, you know, who are now connected to Hashem. So in other words, you know, you've created Kiddushin. Kiddushin is only possible between Jews. So you've created a closer relationship between other members of the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, who are now brought closer together. So this lashon lo yavo b'kal Hashem argues Aksava Kabbalah davka implies kiddushin. In other words, forget about whatever other sources the Rambam has for his position that are based on the Gemaras. The pasuk and the way the pasuk expresses itself implies that a mamzer is only going to get malchus if he A has kiddushin and only afterwards has bia, you know, with the Yisraelis, because that's lo yavo b'kal Hashem. You know, not just lo yavo el isha, but lo yavo b'kal Hashem implies davka kiddushin. What's that? Right. So it's interesting. So the lashon of bia of lo yavo does imply bia, but it's not exclusively bia. Right, so that's why it's not lo yikonis b'kal Hashem or something of that nature, but the lo yavo b'kal Hashem means to make the ultimate connection between this mamzer and other members of the Kahal Hashem. Now, yeah.
We have this word, like came across before, where somehow or other, not exactly sure, I remember where, but we learned that the din of a minion with 10 people.
Eda. So that's Eda is different than Kahal. Not Kahal, no, Eda. Eda. So in English it translates the same, but in other words it's a different Hebrew word. We do find that the Lashon Bia can apply to Nisuin as opposed to a sexual relationship. He quotes the Pasuk in Shoftim. Ushloshim Bonos Hevi Levanov. He brought 30 girls to his sons, which again the implication is that they were going to marry, not just have a sexual relationship. Ushapu Piresh Harambam Lo Yavo Bakol Al Yedei Nisuin. Right, so that's what the Rambam is explaining. The Lashon Lo Yavo Bakol implies that it's that it's going to be kiddushin slash nisuin plus bia. If you recall, one of the arguments the Ravid made against the Rambam was that the reason for the Isser in the Torah is not to create more mamzerim, and that applies whether or not there's kiddushin. No, but says the Aksava Kabbalah, the Rambam doesn't think that that's the reason for the Isser, and for a very simple reason, not just that who told you that was the reason for the Isser, but more than that. So let me ask you, says Aksava Kabbalah, according to the Ravid, could a mamzer marry a woman who was menopausal? And clearly the answer is no, right? In other words, you know, a mamzer is not allowed to marry a Yisraelis whether or not she's capable of having children. Well, but according to the Ravid saying, well, you know, the whole reason for this, Ishlo Yarba Mamzerus be Yisrael. Okay, I'll give you a simple case where they're not going to be any more mamzerus. She's not capable of having children. What's that?
But after she becomes Tahar, he can be with her. Why?
No. She's not capable of having children. She's past the age of having children. Right? So in other words, such a person. What are you going to tell me? Is Mutter to marry such a person? Clearly not Mutter for the Mamzer to marry a Yisraelis who's, you know, not capable of having children. According to the Ravid, why not? Right? Okay, so again, you say, well, you know, the Tam doesn't apply to all the reasons. But according to the Rambam, who told you that was the Tam? Right? In other words, first you come up with a reason, and then you have to defend it. Don't come up with the reason. The Torah says that a Mamzer and a Yisraelis are not allowed to marry, you know, whatever the circumstance happens to be. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up after Mariv more discussion on this topic. We'll talk about the etymology of the word Mamzer according to the Aksava Kabbalah, and we'll be mefalpel a little bit as to whether other Rishonim agree with the Rambam or disagree with the Rambam. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakus L'Yisrael L'Sikach. Welcome to the second half of the Shia, Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Kiseitzei. The first half of the Shia, we discussed how the Aksava Kabbalah defended the Shita of the Rambam as brought in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, Perek Tesvav. There the Rambam writes that the prohibition of a mamzer marrying a Yisraelis or Yisrael marrying a mamzeres, the malchus will only apply if they have both kiddushin as well as bia, a sexual relationship together.
I mean, okay, Yisraelis for a play. Mamzeres is a
right, I think off the top of my head, I'm not sure. Right, so I'll call upon him. Yeah.
When you say bia, you mean like the suin is a bia, or
sexual relations together? Yeah.
In the context of the suin,
they had kiddushin. Now they're having bia, you know. So that's.
But
it is Nisun.
No, when you can't help it, it's not true.
Yeah. So.
Be witnesses and all that.
What?
Be witnesses.
For what? The Tashmish? No. Well, I mean, if they're going to get malchus, there has to be some kind of. Right. So that's in general. You ask that general.
could ask that question in general. How do you ever get Mrs. Bezdin? Right. So either there are witnesses, so there are witnesses that could be out the door, outside the door.
So I'll
call part of the kids. So let's stay focused. So the Rambam had said that the Issa replies when you have both Kiddushin as well as Biyah, you need both. The Raiva disagreed. The Aksava Kabbalah wants to defend the Rambam's position based on the Pasuk itself. Lo Yovo Bikal Hashem, this unusual formulation, that the Mamzer will not enter into the congregation of Hashem, says the Aksava Kabbalah, specifically implies marriage as opposed to just a sexual relationship on its own. Because coming into the Kal Hashem implies that many more people are becoming related to one another through this relationship. It's not just man and woman, but there are many relatives being brought in over here, and that specifically implies that implies an idea of marriage. And the Raivid says that there's a kind of a time of dekra, that the reason the Torah prohibits a mamzer marrying a Yisraelis is not to be marbe mamzerim be Yisrael, not to create more mamzerim, so that applies even without Kiddusha. Says Aksava Kabbalah, the Rambam would respond, who told you that was the reason? And furthermore, if that is the reason, there are certain cases, many cases, where that's not going to apply. The mamzer marries a woman who's not capable of having children, and yet it's still going to be Asa. V'hinei masha piresh Rashi lo yavo mamzer shlo yisa yisraelis mevuar daito ke harambam de bebeilo belo nisuin eno vazar azo. The truth is, writes the Daksava Kabbalah, Rashi, even though Rashi is extraordinarily brief over here, Rashi's formulation seems to support the Rambam. Rashi writes, what does it mean, lo yavo mamzer bikal Hashem? Lo yisa Yisraelis. He should not marry, the mamzer should not marry Yisraelis. He doesn't say, lo yivol Yisraelis. He shouldn't be intimate with the Yisraelis. Lo yisa Yisraelis. In one word, you know, without the whole pilpul of the Rambam, you know, Rashi, again, kedarko bakodesh, in a few select words, essentially seems to be agreeing with the Rambam over here, says the Aksava Kabbalah. It's noteworthy that what Rashi actually means over...
He had just a conclusion and not Bia, but Yicha. That would be the same thing.
No, Kedushin and Bia. Right? So it's noteworthy that what Rashi means over here exactly is actually debated by the Mefarshei Rashi. And the Ksava Kabbalah assumes that Rashi holds like the Rambam, which does seem to be the simple interpretation of Rashi. The Mizrahi, probably the most classic of the Mefarshim of Rashi, also says, well, Yisra Yisraelis means, like the Rambam, that it has to be both Kiddushin as well as Bia in order for there to be a Malkus on the Lav of Mamzerus over here. It's interesting to note the Maharal in Gur Aryeh disagrees with the Mizrahi, and he says, when Rashi says, well, Yisraelis, it's not meant davka, it's not meant precisely. All Rashi means is that the Mamzer and the Yisraelis shouldn't have intimate relations with one another. And says the Maharal, why am I saying that? Because it's so clear, says the Maharal, that the Rambam is right, and that the Rambam is wrong, again, for whatever reasons he gives, that, you know, if we have to pick a side to attribute Rashi to, it makes so much more sense to assume that Rashi is on the side of the Ramban versus the side of the Rambam, that even if we have to twist the Lashon a little bit in order to assume that that's what Rashi meant, that's probably what Rashi meant. That's the Maharal writes. Again, I would say among the Mefarshei Rashi, the Mizrahi and the Maharal are probably the two, fair to say, the two chief, you know, Mefarshim of Rashi among the Achronim. You know, so they split as to how to read this Rashi, but again, Aksava Kabbalah clearly holds that Rashi agrees with the Rambam. And again, you know, the Aksava Kabbalah is certainly happy with that, because the Aksava Kabbalah understands that Pshat and the Pasuk supports the Rambam. And Rashi, as someone who self-describes as a pashtun, as somebody who's interested in telling you what the pshat of the pasuk is all about, you know, it makes sense that Rashi would agree with this whole Torah as well that Ksav HaKabbalah wants to suggest. B'chein pirush Rabbi Elazar mimetz the Sefer HaYireyim, mitzvah kuf tzad yiches, the Sefer HaYireyim, which is a Sefer of mitzvahs written by one of the Baalei Tosfos, also agrees that to get malchus on the lav of mamzerus, there has to be kedushin as well as bia. V'chein kosav Rav Achai mishibcha b'shiltos. Rav Achai Gon in the Shiltos writes similarly in Shilto Chafei. V'chein tirgam Yonasan ben Uziyo lo yidke lemeitzav isak sheira. Right, when the Yonasan ben Uziyo translates this pasuk, he says that the mamzer should not lemeitzav, should not marry a woman who is a sheira, a regular Jewish woman. Right, again, the fact that he chooses that language, lemeisov, to marry, you know, is also suggestive, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, that the Yonasan ben Uziel as well holds like the Rambam. So again, truth be told, I think the standard approach to this sugya assumes that the Rambam is somewhat of a das yochid, an unusual shita, and that most of the other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ravid and all of the, you know, anyone who's a Talmud of the Ramban disagrees. That's the more standard, I think, approach. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is enamored, however, of this Rambam, so he wants to try to collect as many chaverim for the Rambam as he possibly can, you know, starting with Rashi and going to the Targum Yonasan and Beruzio, you know, which he says are suggestive that they follow this Rambam as well.
Is it allowed to marry a goy?
No, he's not allowed to marry a goy. The truth is, I mean, in modern day terms, by the way, a mamzer who is certainly a mamzer, or even a possible mamzer, has a very hard time getting married. That's the truth. And there's actually, there are people in today's day and age, thank God, you know, oftentimes the rabbonim can figure out ways to make the mamzer not such a mamzer, you know, to figure out ways, whatever, you know, to figure out that if he was born of a second marriage without a get, you know, whatever, you know, they'll figure out a way to be mamzer. But they can't always. And there's a whole group of people dedicated to trying to make shiduchim between mamzerim and mamzeros. I mean, it sounds a little funny, but you know, it's funny if you're not one of those people. If you are one of those people, it's not funny at all. You know, it's a very, very difficult thing. What's that?
It only delays the problem.
Okay, but you know what? Daya letzara b'shaita. You know, you'll deal with one step at a time. You know, so it's true, but it's you know. Right. Okay, but you know, go find a shivcha. You know, I mean, it's not gonna be so easy. What's that? Afshar ya. Okay. What's the root of the word mamzer? It's an unusual word. So he writes as follows. It's a little bit of a point number two. It says as follows. There is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara who says that a mamzer is produced any time that there's a prohibited marriage, even if the ister is only an ister lav. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that only a prohibited marriage which carries with it the penalty of karis or misas bezin produces a mamzer as offspring. Based on that, efshar levar is shem mamzer al pi ha'alocha. If you hold the way we do, not like Rabbi Akiva, but if you hold the way we do, so perhaps the etymology of the word mamzer is as follows. Ki chol ha'arayos nikros to'eva. The Torah calls all of the arayos to'eva, something disgusting. Kamo shekosu, kol asher yasa mikol ha'to'evos to'ela. In the end of Parshas Achrimos, after listing off the arayos, the pasuk says anyone who engages one of these, you know, disgusting acts, b'shem zar b'lashon aravi inyan toeva, and the word zar is connected to something which is disgusting. Umizev ayalachem lizara, right? The pasuk at the end of Baloscha says you're going to have so much meat. You want a meat cloud yourself? Says Hashem, I'll give you so much meat till it's coming out of your noses, literally, and you'll be disgusted with it. So that's that word, zara, carries with it the implication of something which is disgusting, a to'eva.
V'yiyatam mamzer ish metuav hanolad mimaisa to'eva shehen ho'arayos. So if that's the case, the word mamzer is really based on the word zor, which in this context means not a stranger, as it often does, but rather something disgusting. The mamzer is the product of a relationship which is zora, which is something which is called a to'eva. And he doesn't quite say this, but I think this is what he means. What's the mem mem? The mem mem is me. You know, it's the prefix from. From something which is zor, from something which is a to'eva. This is the product. This is the product of this thing which was from a zor. What's that?
I think there's a word also.
I don't know. I'm not sure. So he then writes that Ramban Kosav, the Ramban himself, writes, also deals with the etymology of mamzerus, of the word mamzer. And he writes, mamzer hu shem le'ish muzor me'echav yodav. The Ramban builds on the word zor, but in the sense of stranger or foreign. The mamzer, he writes, is estranged from his brethren. Shaloi voda me'ayin bo, because people don't know where he came from. In other words, you know, he was born, let's say, the woman who was married had an affair. We're not quite sure who the father was. Bine hanolad le'ish me'eshes aviv hu yarchikoso. Right? If a man gets into one of these prohibited relationships and has a child, the child, unfortunately, as we know, would be distanced. You know, if the child comes from a prohibited relationship, lo yodebo, he's not going to admit that he's his father. Leboshto klimoso min amaisa horasha oso. The father doesn't want to admit that I had this terrible relationship, so he denies his connection to the son. He distances him. Vegami motash lichero balaylo. And unfortunately, sometimes the mother will abandon him at night. He's distanced even in his city. Mamzer means a child who is estranged or distanced from his family. He's not acknowledged as such by the ones who brought him into the world because they're ashamed of the action which they committed. Now, the Ksav HaKabbalah clearly knew the Ramban, as he quotes the Ramban, and yet the Ksav HaKabbalah chooses to interpret Mamzer differently, because as he says, the Ramban's explanation doesn't cover all of the actual cases of Mamzerus. Kim Shneimo Lidov No Nodo, Eino Mamzer Vadai. The truth is, the Ramban is describing a case where the child is not necessarily a Mamzer. We're talking about, you know, the Ramban is talking about a case where nobody wants to own up to who the father or the mother of this child is, right? So in that case, you know, he talks about the Asufi, right? The Asufi is an abandoned child. You know, you wake up in the morning, you find a child in a wicker basket, you know, sitting on your doorstep. A foundling, right. So in that case, the child is a Sufik mamzer, so we don't know where he came from. But that's not the only case that the Torah is talking about. HaTorah did Rebbe Mamzer Vadai, Rebbe Mamzer Sufik. I mean, our Pasuk, it's true, there's a concept of a Sufik mamzer, but that's not the original story of a mamzer. The original story of a mamzer is somebody we know was born to a particular, you know, illicit relationship. So, you know, the Ramban's explanation that we're talking about somebody that nobody wants to own up to, the mother who abandons her child or the like, you know, those are all more relevant to a child whose ancestry is a little bit murky. Mamzerus, in its essence, is not about a murkiness of ancestry, it's about an illicit nature of the ancestry. So that's what Ksav HaKabbalah wants to claim, that his explanation, that it's mizor, from something which is a to'eva, is the more accurate definition of the word.
In the word strange.
Not strange, no. In other words,
then the word is strange.
Yeah.
It's so hard to read the Ramban to say that it's talking about a bad. I mean, there is a stigma associated with this child, with this person his whole life. I mean, even when we know, everyone knows. But it's an unusual taking a typical case of an HSH, right? She's married to someone else. This child is living in that home. The father who lives in that home is not his father. His father is somewhere else. It's naturally a stigma. Even
right.
The whole world knows about it.
Right. So
it's a shame and a busha.
Right. So again, if not that we need to defend the Ramban, but you know, if the Ramban would respond, I imagine the Ramban would say something along those lines. You're right. There's always a stigma with a mamzer safek. There's a stigma with a mamzer vada. There's a stigma. It could be that the Ksava Kabbalah is coming off of what he said at the very beginning of his remarks, which is, don't read the pasuk lo yavo bekal Hashem to imply that he's going to be socially ostracized, because that's not true. Again, as he said, Talmud Chacham Am Haaretz, Talmud Chacham Kodem Am Haaretz. You could be a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a mamzer, and maybe that person enjoys tremendous social recognition, the Talmud Chacham who's a mamzer. So, you know, to say that he's estranged is not necessarily definitional, whereas according to Aksava Kabbalah, the fact that he's from a Toeva is not just possible or likely, it's definitional to what the mamzer himself is.
But even a Talmud Chacham who's a mamzer, he might always feel that way inside.
Right, but again, it's not definitional. In other words, it's possible, it's maybe even likely, but the way Aksava Kabbalah is saying it's part of the definition of being a mamzer that you're from a Toeva.
Why don't we refer back to the Navi to some incidents and then figure out what the situation really is, because I seem to recall that there's a whole story about Yishai, the father of David, that in his old age he had the second thoughts that he might be a Moabite, something like that.
Right, so those...
That's why David was ostracized by his family.
Right, so again, a lot of those stories are midrashic in nature, so if you're going back...
But just the situation, you see...
There wasn't
how to behave.
Right.
People should behave.
Right, but again, the Ramban is not talking about how people should behave. The Ramban is talking about how people do behave. He's not prescribing that, you know, like take the kid and leave him on somebody's doorstep in the middle of the night. He's not saying you should do that. He's saying people do that, right? But again, you know, the mailo of the Aksava Kabbalah's interpretation, I think he would argue, is that it goes to the definition of what a mamzer is, as opposed to the people actually, you know, what people do or the way people tend to relate, you know, to the mamzer.
A mamzer kohen.
Yeah. A mamzer kohen. Mamzerus doesn't stop him from exercising his kahuna, right? He's the kohen l'chol davar. What's that? But in terms of, like, in other words, let's say if the father is a kohen and he's boel and eshes ish, right? Right. So right. He's got, right. 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 I'm sorry. Yeah. Right. So he'll lose out on that. Right. I just want to mention one more thing just before we break. So the end of the pasuk says that the mamzer lo yavo bikal Hashem, gam dor atziri lo yavo lo bikal Hashem. Right, even to the 10th generation, you should not marry into the Kol Hashem, which we interpret to mean forever. Gam Dor Asiri. Okay, so yes, Aksava Kabbalah, if you mean forever, so say forever, don't say Gam Dor Asiri. So he wants to explain in a very interesting fashion. The Gemara in Kiddushin brings an opinion, the Gemara in Ayin Beis in Kiddushin brings an opinion that shortly when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, that he's going to be Metaher Mamzerim, that there's going to be a brief amnesty period, as it were, where the Mamzerim that had already existed and had sort of assimilated into the rest of Klal Yisrael are going to have their Mamzerus removed from them. Right? That's to write Mamzerim Tahorim La'osted Lovo, and he quotes the Rashba, who explains that it's not that the mitzvah of Lo Yavo Mamzer is going to be done away with. Horoas Shoah Tehei La'osan Shahayu B'Dara Kodem B'Yas Eliyahu. those people in that generation, who again were not clearly Mamzerim, but you know, had come from families of Mamzerim, and they sort of assimilated into the rest of Klal Yisrael, don't ask, don't tell. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come along and he's going to wipe away any stigma on a on a one-time basis. So if that's so, says the Aksava Kabbalah, the expression Gam Dor Asiri is actually hinting to that Gemara. In other words, had it said Ad Olam Lo Yavo Bikal Hashem, it means there's no way to ever rectify it. Gam Dor Asiri means for a really long time, but there will come a time where the stigma is, at least at one point, going to be taken away. It's an interesting way of interpreting the pasuk.
The next pasuk, which talks about Amon and
Moab, Adola,
but it also
right.
says Gamdor Asir.
Right.
But it has been Adola.
Right. So he, I don't know how to deal with that. I believe he does not.
No, I think it's okay because in other words, he's saying, using that.
In that case.
That would really mean Adola.
Right. Right. No, right. I mean, you could ask the kasha, I guess, the other way. You're like, well, so why does it say Gam Dor Asiri? But in other words, there's a Dor Asiri which is Ad Olam, and there's a Dor Asiri which is just a Dor Asiri. So again, perhaps that's the way he interprets it. He doesn't say explicitly, but that's perhaps the way he interprets it, that the Gam Dor Asiri is meant actually to hedge it and to say it's not really Ad Olam. You know, there's a sort of a finite end to what's being discussed over here.
We had an issue earlier.
At Hayovel.
Yes.
Right, in the context of Eved Ivri. Right. I don't think he does. Now you have to go back and put the two of them together. I'm not sure off the top of my head. Okay, we'll stop over here.